Okay, all welcome to Championship Drill, a special episode where we're going to look at some of the news during the week. We're going to look at the deadline day deals at the Championship clubs, and we're going to look at some of the players possibly who could still leave the Championship and move up to the Premier League as that deadline is still open. I'm joined, as always, with Jerry and with Phil. How are you guys doing?
Excellent,
all good.
So I suppose we might as well fire straight into it. Nottingham Forest, as we've been saying for weeks, he was the favourite to go. They haven't won a game yet this season. He was sacked. But they managed a bit of a coup, really, I suppose, to bring Chris Hughton in.
Yeah,
huge. I suppose that's one advantage of sacking your manager early, is that you have your pick of who wants to come to you. And a good signing for Nottingham Forest to bring Hughton in.
Yeah, 100%.
He's proven, as you know, for it's like
he's got teams up.
Yeah.
And Birmingham, he got fourth in the table.
Yeah, and there's a steadiness about him. Any club he goes to, there's never any catastrophe, really. Like, he's always calm, collective. He's, you know, pre and post match, he's always great to listen to. I think it's a huge.
And they won't get relegated under him.
Not a chance.
So he's coming. Like, there's still a lot of games going to the Championship, you know. So we can see him doing good things. Like you said, he's got Brighton up in the past. He's got Newcastle up in the past. Yeah. Like you mentioned there, Phil, great season with Birmingham, which I think he actually moved on. He was. Where did he end up that season? His clubs didn't quite work out for him. I can't remember exactly where he went that time. But he left Birmingham after bringing them to Fort. But he's got form in the division, which is always important. There's no surprise, though, is there, really, that Forest were the first to push their manager out the door?
They had to move fast. Simple as. You know, after last season, they had a decent season last season. Obviously, like, you know, they're still a big club. I think they moved right, and I think Houghton is the man to do it. 100%.
Right time, yeah.
100%. And we obviously know him from his days of playing with Ireland. I believe he was the first mixed race player to actually play for Ireland.
Yeah.
He played, I can't remember the exact number, caps up around the 60 mark anyway.
Yeah.
Times he played for Ireland all through Euro 88. He was at Spurs for not all his career, but pretty much the majority of his career.
Yeah.
Was a coach at Spurs, obviously, before he went into management. Took over Spurs for the odd few games here and there as a caretaker. But he's always been a very cool, calm guy. And when you think of the modern footballer, he's kind of, even though he came up through this more old school kind of approach when he was playing in like the 70s and 80s and into the 90s. He is very, very cool headed. He's not someone who's going to shout and scream at the players.
No.
He's going to just maybe pull them aside and have a quiet word with them.
Yeah.
Is that kind of important for the modern player that you don't have someone who's going to throw them under the bus or who's going to scream and shout at them when they're doing something wrong?
That's the thing, because even with Mourinho, he's just one players are bad, he kind of goes off the rails.
I think with Chris it's the case, if a player plays bad, Chris will take the blame with him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's he's just, as you say, statistically, you know, he's stats-wise, he's always done well. He looks like a guy that can still actually talk out and play football.
Yeah.
He's fit as a fiddle. He loves the game.
Yeah.
And I always, you know, I always remember watching Match of the Day and watch, post-match. He's always well-spoken.
Yeah.
Very
calm.
Very calm. And as I said, he knows the game inside and out. And it was great that he was a huge ambassador for Ireland as well back in the Euros. Like, he was a player that we all looked up to him.
Wouldn't be surprised now if a few players come in before the
team. He'll get players, there's no doubt about it. Like,
players seem to like him.
Yeah.
Players he's managed in the past seem to like him. No one seems to say a bad word about him.
Never. You never hear that.
So do we think Forrest have a chance with him to push up the table for the playoffs?
It's very possible.
It's a long way to go. Like, there's another 40 games?
Yeah.
42 games left?
Yeah. There's no problem, like, in my mind, that he can definitely get a top 8 finish.
It depends on how they're doing by Christmas.
Yeah.
So things have been turning around there for Forrest, but a club that just had nothing really but bad news during the week were Barnsley again. I mean, we talked about Struber joining New York. Yep. It was always really going to happen.
And Jerry pushing him out the door.
I mean, they almost packed his bags for him after the comments he made that we talked about in the last
He needed
podcast.
To go, like, simple as.
Murray comes in, temporary charge. So he's really going to only be there until they find a new manager, so you can't say too much against him. Will he have ambitions, though, of maybe he can get him firing, that there's a chance he could get the job, or is he really just going to be there for
I think he's just a gap stop.
It depends on his bank balance, really, I suppose if he wants to, like, you know what I mean, he's still quite young, Adam. Like, I think if it's the case, you know, why not go for it? Like, why not try and turn it around, you know what I mean? He might have a close connection with the Barnsley boys, you just don't know, you know.
Darren Moore, who's doing great work at Doncaster, is the odds-on favourite to replace him. He'd be good if they can get him away from Doncaster. And would he want to leave Doncaster, who are flying it, to go to Barnsley?
Wasn't Darmore with someone before Doncaster? Yeah. And he'd done actually quite well, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a very, very good run in the Premier League.
Hannes Wolf is about 3-1, I think. Eddie Howe is there about 6-7-1, something like that.
The thing as well with Darren Moore is, like, if they go down and they come up,
he's
kind of stuck back down again.
Well, that's it.
Eddie, Eddie Howe, there's no way Eddie Howe's going to go. Eddie Howe will be back in the Premier League.
I wouldn't think so. And we've been pushing Big Mick. If anyone fancies a flutter, Big Mick is 18-1.
Yeah, we might give him a call. You know, you still have his number. Steve, I think you should give him a call and see.
I think Mick is happy enough while he's doing in Sky. He's probably looking for a different club if he's going to go back in.
Yeah.
But even when we were talking to Mick, was it last year we were talking about? Last year, before. He was talking about when he does leave Ireland, because at the time it was always, you know, the progression plan was there that he was going to leave after the Euros, but then COVID hit, so he left a bit sooner.
Yeah.
That he wanted to go back into club management as quickly as possible. He's, you know, Barnsley is kind of where he's not, you know, he's from that area. He's a Yorkshireman. Huge experience in the division. I mean, surely Barnsley have to be tempted to give Mick a phone call at least and see if he's interested.
Yeah,
you think so.
See, it's just Mick is, he's so underrated as a manager, lads. Like, is it a step down for him? That's the question. Obviously, he's been at Ipswich, he's been at Wolves. Obviously, you know, a manager of our country. You wonder, does he look at Barnsley and say, I don't need that? Do you know?
It's possible,
that could be a case. But in terms of another positive for Mick, he's any club he's been at, they've never had money to spend.
Yeah.
He's always had to deal with what was at the club and bringing in the odd player here and there, but not many. And that seems to be where Barnsley are at the moment, where there is nothing, and he'd have to work with the players.
Yeah.
But it seems Darren Moore, you know, huge favourite at the moment, but I think they'd be foolish not to at least give Big Mick an old shout.
Yeah.
And there was other bad news, I suppose, for Barnsley during the week. Bambo Diaby had a positive test last November for a banned substance. His hearing was during the week. It was concluded that he took it on purpose. It wasn't by accident. He was trying to cheat. He's been handed a 2-year ban from football, so he had his Barnsley contract cancelled. He's only 22, so he'll be 24 when he comes back. Clubs, I don't know, are clubs going to go near him again?
It's very hard. I'd say he'd have to go abroad somewhere.
Yeah. So after losing their manager, after bringing in, you know, someone temporary charge, and then having one of their players banned for 2 years, where they had no choice really but to cancel his contract. Not a good week for Barnsley, but a bright spark, I suppose, is that young Jordan Williams has signed a 3-year deal, a new deal with them, with the option for 4th year. I believe he's around 20 years old.
Yeah, big
future. You know,
one of their
good young players. So they've secured him at least. So small bit of good news for Barnsley.
Yeah.
But a crazy week for them. You know, when we're here every week, it seems to be something with Barnsley that's not going right. And then you think a week off now where there's no games going on, Barnsley will be grand for a week, but no.
Sure, next week now they'll have a new manager in place.
I know, Mick will be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm happy to be here.
Imagine Mick on the sidelines with no crowd.
Yeah.
I know, you can hear him when the fans are singing. Imagine him when there's nobody in the
get
stadium.
Get off and get a steak and kill your mind.
That's all you'll be able to hear in their matches on TV is Mick shouting. Yeah. Anyway, we move on. Deadline day deals. Quiet enough for the championship. It was quiet enough, really, across the board, except for maybe in Germany. For once, players in Germany, the team seemed to go mad spending money, which doesn't usually happen in Germany, which is sign the times, I guess. But in the championship, there was a few, so we go through them here, see what you think. Cafu.
I thought he was retired.
I know, that's what we thought, it's not him.
He's only 27.
27,
A cousin of the great Cafu. Forrest.
That's it. He's played all around Europe at a few different clubs. Olympiacos, he comes to Forrest on loan, plays an 8, but he's more of a ball-winning midfielder. So 27 now, good signing for Forrest, someone they need, someone who can win the ball back for them.
Yeah. Nice for the back of the jersey, like.
I wonder, is the Chris Hughton, what will he think of this signing?
Because he
probably hasn't sanctioned, like.
You're not related to a Cafu, you can hear a big, no, then, I think it's, obviously Olympiacos are a great team.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're well established, obviously he's been all around the border. You know, it could very well work out that he does it before Forrest. You just never know, I suppose it's just a case of waiting to see what happens, but Cafu on the back of a Forest jersey sounds good to me.
It does. They might sell a few jerseys. And he does have the ability to be that guy that wins the ball back and gets the attacks going the other way, which they've kind of been lacking a little bit. So a good move for Forest. Good week for Forest, I suppose.
Yeah, they have Knockhart is rumoured to be joining on loan.
And Knockhart coming in on loan as well. Forest, so that'd be another good signing.
Like, he was really good last year.
Yeah, he was.
For Fulham.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Just hasn't done it this season, so obviously, you know,
They're going to let him go on loan.
Wickham, Jerry's.
Yes.
Josh Knight.
I brought Josh Knight in from Leicester on loan.
Great signing.
It's about a 6 month loan deal, but it's very weird because there's talk that it might be up in January, which is only about 3 months away. So we'll wait and see if it's 6 months from when the thing started, the season started, or from whenever. But either way, they said it's a 6 month deal. 23, never played for Leicester, was at Peterborough last season. Right back, he was at Wickham the first half. He was at was it West Brom he was at that season? I can't remember.
He scored against Wickham, I think.
He scored against Wickham.
Yeah. He was on loan at Peterborough.
Peterborough, that's it. He was at Peterborough last year. He scored against Wickham, who I think had him earlier and never really played him or something like that at one stage. But anyway, they've secured him now. They tried to get him earlier in the window for the start of the season. Someone they could really use, I suppose. They need help at the back.
They need big help.
Is he going to make enough of a difference, though? I mean,
they needed forward players.
Yeah. They're still missing the big man up front, like, you know what I mean? But I think Wickham will struggle. I hate saying it. I want the Wickham to do so well. Obviously, they're still celebrating from coming up from League One, but it's they haven't really used the market well, you know what I mean? There's a lot of players. It might be hard to get players in on loan and stuff, you know, but like Josh Knight, it's a positive signing. Obviously, Leicester, it's I mean, obviously, that's the thing, somewhat of him, but it's they need a bit more, I think.
Yeah, they need forward players, big time.
Yeah,
they do. And they could probably use someone in the midfield that can hang on to the ball a little bit, because, like we said last week, they just give the ball away so much.
Yeah.
They're constantly under pressure. So, yeah, they do miss the big man up front, even though he might only play a little bit here and there. At least he'll hold the ball up for them.
It's his presence, though, I think. Yeah, it's just that factor he brings, you know.
So then a really, really, really good loan deal here, I think, for Birmingham. Brought in Riley McGree from Charlotte.
Yeah.
Now, the reason that he's gone on loan is Charlotte in the MLS just signed him, but Charlotte are not actually in the MLS yet, and they probably won't be until 2022. So they need to loan out their players for now, because there's an MLS expansion in 2022, and that's likely when he'll join up with them and start playing in the MLS.
Yeah.
He's an Australian under 23 international, 21 now. He scores a lot of goals.
Yeah.
Last season in the A-League, he got 13 goals in 16 games.
Yeah.
He was at Club Bruges in 2019, didn't do a lot there. Moved just what they Australia. Need.
Cork man Roy O'Donovan would know all about this lad.
He would.
He's actually kind of Roy.
A great goal he scored in the A-League for Newcastle Jets over in Australia. A scorpion kick in 2018, was nominated for the Puskas Award for the best goal around the world. So it seems like they're signing somebody who can get a goal from midfield for Birmingham.
Yeah,
great signing for Birmingham.
You know, he's like you said, he's only 21. They'll have him on loan this season at least.
Is he American? Is he? I think
he's Australian.
Oh, sorry,
Australian international. But he's Charlotte. You know, they've taken a gamble on him. They think he's going to be good enough playing the MLS. So, a good signing for Birmingham. However, off to a pretty decent start, it must be said.
Yeah, and this will give him a nice boost.
But Jesus, it's a good deal in the sense of him going to Birmingham too, because they're a big club. You know, some of the MLS players don't actually, you know, they end up in League One or League Two, you know. It's the elite obviously making it in the Premier League, but that's a good move. Yet again, Birmingham, a club I love.
Yeah, and I mean, 13 goals in 16 games. I mean, it isn't Australian League, which you'd say is probably a level below the Championship, but still, if you're doing that, you know, there must be something about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Chris Willock then was kind of a forgotten man around England. He actually moved from Benfica to QPR. It was undisclosed, but reckons it's around £750,000 that he was secured.
Is it Joe's brother?
Joe's brother, Wenger thought he had huge potential when he was at Arsenal, playing on the left wing. He famously, I suppose a lot of people praised him for it at the time, where he turned down the chance to sign a new deal with Arsenal to move to Benfica.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone said, fair play to him, go play in Benfica for a few years, and then you'll... you know, maybe get a transfer to a big European club. It hasn't quite worked out that for him. He's never played for Benfica since he's joined them. He's played for their B team, who play in the second division, 64 times for them. He has 14 goals, 9 assists in those 64 games.
He was at West Brom and didn't get a game either.
Yeah, 6 months at West Brom last season without playing. Huddersfield, where he played 14 games and scored twice. So it's a strange one. I mean, the potential is there. He's still, you know, he's only 22. It's not like he's, you know, 35.
Is he going to join that elite club? You know, that man that was at United, the guy that's been all over the world.
Machida.
No, the other guy, it'll come back to me, lads, it'll come back to me. But there was a guy that played with United, he was gifted, even Ronaldo said it, and he's in League 2 in Spain somewhere, like, he's just gone AWOL, like.
Oh, Ravel Morrison, is it?
Yes, Ravel, that's it.
He's in about 40 clubs.
Yeah, Ravel.
And he moved again there recently.
Was he with Sheffield United for a while?
Yeah, he's gone now as well. He's gone from there now as well.
Ravel, that's it.
So when you think about Willock, though, I mean, Eze's gone, obviously.
Yeah.
Willock can play on the wing, play left usually, but he could play on the right, I suppose, if he had to as well. An interesting signing for QPR, and it's one of those wait and see.
Yeah.
Because
you never know, he could do very well.
You never know, exactly. And West Brom have a habit of not playing lone players who turn out to be well. Serge Gnabry being one prime example of that.
Yeah.
Where couldn't get a game either when he was on loan at West Brom. But so we'll see. Maybe Chris Willock could be the next Serge Gnabry. You wouldn't know.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see on that one, I suppose. But it's probably good for him to get out of Benfica because it really hasn't worked out for him. Then we have Jack Aitchison, who was Celtic's youngest scorer a few seasons ago.
Yeah.
Looked like he was going to break through. He joined Barnsley on a free transfer, so a bit of good news again for Barnsley, I suppose.
Mm.
He's 20 now, I suppose. He played, I think he's had 3 sub appearances in his entire time at Celtic. He was at Forest Green last season. He scored 5 and assisted 5 in 28 games. And he signed a long-term deal there, I believe, so they plan to loan him back down to League 2 this season. So Barnsley fans aren't going to see him play this year.
So he's probably going to go back to Forest Green or something.
He might go back to Forest Green, but he's certainly going to be playing. They've said that he is going to go back to League 2. He's not someone they envision playing right away. And it's hard to see him doing that. Like I said, he played 28 games in League 2, and before that he's 3 sub-appearances for Celtic.
Yeah.
It's a bit much asking him to jump in. But he is still Celtic's youngest goal scorer when he was like just 16 and however many days when he got a goal off the bench against Motherwell. So, you know, bright for the future there for Barnsley, maybe.
Yeah.
So we'll wait and see who can come in. Maybe Big Mick will come in and decide that. No, he's going nowhere. You never know. Thomas Estevez, Emilio's brother, I believe, isn't it? Emilio Estevez's brother. He comes from Porto to Reading, which is a kind of surprise, really, that Reading are able to get him.
Yeah.
You know, he broke into the Porto first team last year. Now, that said, he's not playing a lot of games for them, but he did make a couple of appearances for them. 18, Portuguese under-20 international. Played at under-21 as well, but generally he's in the under-20 squad. Big signing for Reading there.
Just they're using America well, aren't they?
Yeah, Reading are very good.
Off-sea connections there, by the looks of it.
Yeah.
A lot of oil deals going on too, I'd say, in the back. But, like, no, that it's a good sign. Like, to break into the Porto team at the age of 18 is pretty impressive.
It is, and Portuguese clubs are known for developing great young players as well. I mean, they've always had a very good underage team, very technically gifted. So a good fullback signing there, and they also brought someone else in just before deadline day, in Alfa Semedo, who comes in on loan from Benfica.
The Portuguese link again, lads.
Yeah, he was at Forest last year.
Forest last year, scored twice in 26 games. So they've added to their midfield, they've got in a new fullback. Two players that do have a bit of quality, and Reading are joint top of the championship. Why not, you know?
Yeah.
This one was kind of a strange one for me. The Albert Admoa one, where he joined QPR after Forrest let him go. You know, he's been, you know, there's probably, name a club in England he's probably played from at some stage.
Every club, yeah.
And he's, you know, a good winger, tricky winger. 27 times he played for Forrest last year, but he only got 3 goals and 2 assists.
Yeah.
Forest fans don't seem to be too fussed looking at Twitter and that he's gone.
Yeah.
They seem to think, look, he's an absolutely great person, a wonderful personality, you know, lovely, lovely guy, but they just feel, you know, 32 now, maybe his legs are gone a little.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting one again from QPR, who've brought in, you know, Chris Willock and now Admoa, 2 wingers. Is it kind of like Eze is gone? Oh my God, we need to sign as many wingers as we can.
I think it is, yeah. It seems to be that way, yeah.
So is it a bit of maybe you've got 22-year-old Chris Willock there and now you've got Admoa is 32 and maybe one can help the other Admoa come in and he can maybe help improve Willock a little bit?
Yeah. It's tough, but I think, you know, the leg's gone at 32. Like, I'm 32. I still feel like I can run a bit. But no, it's like Forrest and QPR have been known to kind of make a lot of swap deals over the years. QPR is still a great club. I think it could be a good move for him going to QPR.
Off the bench in the games.
They could finish above. Like QPR could finish above Forrest. You know what I mean? It's bizarre, but it's true.
Yeah.
Drinton. He is a hero, though, so there was a lot of talk on Twitter that, because he did get a goal against Derby for Forest when they beat them 3-0 a few years ago.
Yeah.
So he's always going to be a hero for Nottingham Forest for the fact that he scored a goal against Derby.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting, I suppose, to see what QPR do. Again, there wasn't a whole lot going on there. Deadline day, it's going to be interesting to see what deals are done.
It was one of the quietest ones.
It was very quiet, and it was kind of weird, I suppose. With Championship, there really wasn't a lot going on. We'll come to a few of them here now in the next section of potentials that could still happen that were kind of mentioned on deadline day. But it was kind of like Sky were almost dragging things out.
They were,
We knew Cavani was gone to United at about noon, yet it wasn't until later on the day they announced it.
The only good thing about though...
It's like they just wait and wait to try and get people to keep watching. That's but there was clearly nothing happening.
Harry Redknapp put Jamie in the box. He destroyed his own son on TV. That was probably the best thing.
So I'm going to ask you to rate a few of these as we go through them in terms of how you think they're going to go. Like you said, Knockhart now is one that's not on here, but it looks like he's
going to go to Forest on loan.
He's going to go to Forest on loan.
And there'll be more Forest deals, I think, in the next 2 days.
Probably will be. But these are more players that we think could leave the Championship clubs. And we hope they don't, because they're gifted and we look forward to seeing them every week. But we'll see. This one has come up every show, more or less.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen to him yet. And very quiet, nothing about him on deadline day, to be honest.
No.
Is Benrahma. Brentford want 25 million for him. 17 goals last year, 10 assists. He's been linked with Palace, but that's as far as it's gone. There's been no bid, there's been no inquiry.
Plot twist, all Villa apparently are going to come in.
Yeah.
That's the talk. I seen it on Twitter last night.
Where's, you know, does he stay Brentford?
I think he stays.
What are the odds
he stays?
So out of 10? The odds of him leaving out of 10? 10, he's definitely gone. 1, he's definitely staying.
1.
5.
1.
1. 5. 1.
5.
Yeah, I go in the middle. I think I could see either happening.
Villa.
It's the money is going to be the stumbling block for teams,
yeah.
It seems. And they're determined. Look, if you don't pay 25 million, you're not getting
it. And
they
probably want it like up front as well. They don't want installments.
I imagine so. But he could definitely, he's that player that could definitely add something.
Palace need him, like, big time.
Yeah, Villa as well, maybe, like you said. Villa seem to be looking for that kind of a creative player.
And plus he gets along with Ali as well.
Well,
So we you know, maybe that's it there. I mean, his skill against Fulham in the League Cup was just, it was criminal. Like I said last week, if he did that to me, I'd just have walked off the pitch and retired from football. Because it was just absolutely filthy. You can't do that to a professional footballer. But yeah, so we think chance he might go, but Phil reckons he's going nowhere.
Nah, he's going to stay with him.
Then this is another one, Ismaïla Sarr, Liverpool and United both linked with him, signed for record fee, and they've refused to let him go on loan. A few clubs have come in for him on loan. There was talk that's what United wanted to do.
Yeah.
Watford, it seems, want £50 million for him, or he's going nowhere.
Yeah.
They're dead right, though.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're dead right. I think Liverpool should try to check up him straight away. I seen this guy play against Liverpool last season. That's when I first seen him on the pitch playing with Watford. He looked amazing.
Yeah.
Like, he's a baller, like an absolute baller. He's got pace. Liverpool could really do with him. Like when you look at that Liverpool team, I think obviously
they're lacking forwards.
There's something they're lacking, yeah. I think he's got that spark about him that he could actually do a bit of damage up the wing, you know. It's I'd take him in a heartbeat. United can't afford him because they bought Cavani and they're paying outrageous wages probably for
him. Won't get him because we're after getting a young fella on deadline day.
They are, but if you think about Sarr, he's 50 million, you'd probably get him for 40 with add-ons if you really wanted to push the boat out.
Yeah.
United, though, apparently, close to deadline day, offered Dortmund £75 million for Jadon Sancho.
Yeah.
So they may have cash there, but if Sancho is the guy they really want, and they might try again in January, and they might try again in the summer, I can't see them putting £50 million to Sarr.
No. I think Sarr stays, to be honest.
Sorry, guys. So what do we think the odds are of...
Two. He's gone.
Two.
Two, you think he's staying?
Yeah.
You think he's going to stay?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So where are you, Jerry?
Oh,
10. He's gone. Yeah, I'm going to go in around the 7. I could see him staying, but I think only because of the serious amount of money that they're looking for. And I don't know how many clubs have that kind of cash at the moment.
Yeah.
That need a winger as such. Another one, Norwich being gutted at things, but Max Aarons. They turned down a loan offer from Barcelona. They also turned down an approach from Bayern Munich.
Yep.
There was no cash offered, but Munich came in. I think they might have wanted him on loan as well.
Yeah.
England under 21 international. But I think he's got 4 years left on his deal. And the key here is he hasn't kicked up a fuss about, oh, I want to go, I want to leave. He's got his head down. He's played all their league games. He's going to be a massive fee if somebody wants him.
Yeah.
Can you see the potential in him, Steve? Have you seen much about Max?
I would have thought he would have went to Arsenal.
I think he's exceptionally gifted for his age. But again, it's when you're signing someone that young, it's you don't know what you're going to get. And it's hard in this current climate for a club to say, I'm going to throw 40 million on a 20-year-old and hope that he, you know, improves more. Because he has the ability.
Yeah.
And he has all the talent in the world, but it's that ceiling. Is he going to get much better? You know, how much better can he get? And the good thing, I suppose, when you sign someone who's that age, who's young, is you sign him to a longer-term deal, 4 or 5 years, and if you're paying 40 million, as long as he does okay and doesn't kind of go totally backwards, you can probably get most of that back if it doesn't quite work out.
Yeah.
But I can't see him leaving
in this transfer window. The same. I can probably
see him leaving Norwich eventually. Yeah. I just don't see it happening in the next week.
Yeah.
I'll be Googling this now later on because his name has popped up numerous times, but I have to look into it more. Yeah, I'm going to take a word in the film and say he's not going to leave.
I think he stays. I think it's probably
the Barcelona offensive debates.
Yeah, to try and take him on loan or whatever and not
pay like 20 million once it was up. Once the loan was up.
And they just said no. But I. Credit to the young fella too. Like you were saying a few weeks ago, Jerry, when the Barcelona thing came up, be hard for a young fella to turn down going to Barcelona when you're young.
Yeah.
Play with Messi, train with Messi every day, try and stop Messi scoring. Maybe that's why he didn't go to Barcelona, because he will be up against Messi in training every day.
Yeah.
But to just get his head down and say, no, look, I know where I am in my career. You know, I could probably do with being at Norwich for another season or two and just improve here.
Hmm.
Where I've been, it kind of shows a bit of maturity too in the young fella.
Yeah.
So, but we reckon he's going to stay in Norwich, and hopefully he does.
Yeah.
Now, another one that comes up a lot is David Brooks of Bournemouth.
Yeah.
He was out. Great start to last season, then got injured. Was out for a long, long time. Only 23.
Yeah.
I think it was the first game back was last weekend.
Yeah.
He played really well in that one. United again linked with. I think United are just going to be linked with every winger on the planet at the moment.
So, yeah.
He has 2 years left on his deal. Bournemouth have brought in quite a bit of money, so they don't need really to sell him. But with 2 years left on his deal, he's going to be slightly cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, this is another guy who's going to stay.
Yeah, I think because of the position Bournemouth are in, they're looking good. He might stay. I think the only guy to leave Bournemouth will be Joshua King. But yeah, I think he's going to stay. Obviously, he's still young.
He'll give it another year at least.
Yeah, and then move, you know what I mean? Because obviously they could be back into the Premier League next year.
Yeah, I'd put him in a middle five here. I could see someone coming in for him. Again, like some of the clubs we said, like the likes of a Crystal Palace or someone like that who might need a winger.
Yeah.
This is a guy that I thought there'd be a lot of people going for. With Emi Buendia in Norwich. He's only 23. You know, the Argentinian. He looks really, really good the year Norwich came up.
Yeah.
He really did. 8 goals, 12 assists that season. He was a bit of hot and cold in the Premier League last year. But when he's on form, he's kind of like Benrahma. He can do things that other players just can't.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that there's been no interest, it seems, in him.
Yeah, I would have thought like West Brom would have went. Because they need someone like him that can kind of change games.
Yeah. Villa again, linked with Benrahma, so it makes sense that they're also linked with...
They have money. Villa have money. Like that's the thing. Like they have money.
Yeah. So again, you know, Villa linked with him at the moment as well. Benrahma seems like Villa definitely want someone like that. So.
And they're investing in a lot of the young talent. Like that's the thing. People don't say that. Like Villa actually are investing in young talent. Like you see what they've done against Liverpool. Like
Yeah.
So what do we reckon?
I reckon a three.
Yeah, around a three.
I reckon he's probably staying.
Yeah.
I'm surprised more people. Now is a guy, there's news on him as we're kind of coming on air here.
Yeah.
It seems like he might be going. But Joshua King at Bournemouth.
Oh, yeah.
West Ham. Like he was gone to United in January.
Yeah.
Then Spurs were linked with him, but then they got that new striker in. What is it, Vinicius or whatever his name is?
Yes, yeah.
Sounds like a roaming gladiator more than a striker. And Gareth Bale came in as well. Then he was linked to Torino, AC Milan. He scored 6 goals last year in 28 games, which wasn't exactly amazing.
Mm.
How could you be linked to a club like United or Spurs when you do
Solskjaer used to play with him.
Yeah, I mean, Norwegian international. He's 28. He has experience. I suppose you look at how bad Bournemouth were last year. Going forward,
yeah,
it's hard to be too harsh on their forward players. Because you just they weren't creating enough chances. He has scored in the past.
Yeah,
he's experienced. Some teams probably could use him, maybe a Fulham or something like that, because they rely so heavily on Mitrovic.
Yeah,
and like you were saying, West Ham, who had a disaster of a transfer window so far.
Does look like he's going there though.
I think it's gonna happen. He's gone. Already.
King is gone.
He's in the spotlight too much.
We're recording this on the Saturday, so he could well be gone by the time this comes out on Monday. So, you know, so we reckon he is definitely going, and that wouldn't be bad business either. I think for West Ham, whose fans, you know, they've lost three players. I think and brought nobody in. Your man from Chelsea, what's his name? The defender decided last minute, I'm not going to West Ham.
Yeah, yeah.
And pulled the plug with about 10 minutes to go.
They lost Filippo Anderson yesterday.
So it's not been good for them.
No.
Another player that there's not been a lot as well of talk about, this guy who was unbelievable last year in the Premier League, is Todd Cantwell at Norwich.
Yeah.
You know, he's only 22. He was linked with Leeds, but then they signed Rafinha.
Yeah.
You know, so, but Leeds do seem to have funds to go after more players if they want. He played all but one Premier League game last season. His price might be a bit too high, but he's another one with huge potential.
They'll want 25, 30 million,
He was into Liverpool at one stage.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a very, very, again,
like, he's a great player to come off the bench.
A bit like Max Aarons, it's like he's only going to get better, imagine, if he has the right people around him, the right management around him, and Leeds would be ideal for him. But, you know, like they said, they've signed Rafinha. Are they going to go splash more cash
on
Cantwell?
I think if I was to guess, I'd say four.
Four? You reckon could happen, but unlikely.
Yeah.
He's going to stay on that.
I reckon, around a four or five. Yeah. I think he's probably going to stay.
Yeah. I can't see Leeds spend any more money either. I think Leeds have a good squad now. I think they'll do well this season, get a top half, and then obviously they'll spend and they'll raid the championship again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then another player who's surprisingly still at Watford is Etienne Capoue. Big, strong midfielder. Valencia, it seemed like they were going to sign him, but then Valencia have fallen apart financially.
Which is bizarre, all the Europa League money, you know what I mean? It's where is it?
32 now, but, you know, he's strong. He's always done a job for Watford in the Premier League. Like, if you look at the teams that are going to struggle to stay up, surely...
like a Fulham or a West Brom.
Yeah, and I mean, at 32, he's not going to cost you 20 million.
Yeah.
No. You know, maybe, you know, 5-6 million, you might have a chance of getting him away from Watford.
Yeah.
And surely he's worked that for some team that are going to be battling relegation.
I think so. I think he's going to stay though.
Yeah,
I can't see him leaving.
No, I can see him leaving. I'm going to put it up around the seven. Yeah.
I'd say three.
Yeah.
I'd say he'll end up in France.
Yeah, he could do. Terence Kongolo from Huddersfield. Strong centre-back. 26 now. Been up and down. Is that Fulham last season? It seems like he might be going to Sheffield United.
Yeah.
And if not, then maybe Fulham, who had him last season, might come in for him.
Yeah.
If he's to leave at all. Can't see him commanding, again, a huge transfer fee.
No.
Sheffield United definitely need cover at the back.
I think so, yeah.
They're very short numbers if players start getting injured and suspended.
If he can get a red card or something, yeah.
Yeah. So, do we think he's possibly going to go, or will they look at other defensive options?
I think he'll go.
I'd go to Sheffield United in a heartbeat. Yeah. You know, Fulham, unfortunately, Scott Parker's not doing it at the moment. I feel bad on them though, because there's fund issues and there's a lot of issues. But
that's it.
Sheffield United are a great club. I think, you know, getting in there behind the, you know, Stevens and Egan would be to challenge the two lads would be brilliant.
Yeah,
absolutely. But so we reckon he could go. I'm going to say about a seven or an eight there as well.
Yeah.
He's going to go.
Yeah.
This is one that came out in deadline day, but there's not been much about it yet. We were talking about him actually at Swansea's last game. He had an absolute... Every time you see this guy play, he seems to be better. Is Joe Rondon. He's linked with Spurs. He's only 22. A lot of upside to a team doing a deal. Now, the talk at the moment that I hear is Spurs offered 7 million for him. And Swansea value him more around the 18 million mark.
Yeah.
And they don't need to sell him.
Yeah.
So... 2 years left on his deal. They reckon 15 to 18 million is somewhere in that region.
I think they should offer 12 and loan him back.
Something like that. Do you think it's likely? Spurs seem to be genuinely interested on deadline day. It's cooled a little. Their clubs are a long way apart in the valuation.
Levy, some man, lads. Oh my God.
Ed Woodward's worse.
Yeah. He's only 22, lads. I think Eddie Millian's a fair price. Do you know, he's actually been good at Swansea. But Spurs are just mangy.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're just absolutely mangy.
Yeah. So it's I wouldn't be surprised if another club decided to come in if Spurs are dragging their heels, because watched Swansea a lot last season and a fair bit this season, and every time this guy plays he seems to get better and better.
Yeah.
Now you go to, you know, at 22, it's an important move for him too, because if he goes to the wrong club, like if he ends up at a Fulham where he's getting battered every week,
yeah.
I mean, that's not gonna do the world good to his confidence.
No.
Yeah.
Whereas if he does go to like a Spurs where they might have a bit more possession, and he, you know, he doesn't have players flying at him from all angles every week.
The players that Spurs have lost, all that.
Yeah.
Over teams that are stupid.
Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting one. I think he's probably going to leave Swansea. I think he's too good to stay at Swansea at the moment, when so many Premier League teams need defenders. So I'm going to put that up around an 8.
Yeah, same. Yeah,
same.
This is one that kind of came out during the week again. Was the goalkeeper Jack Butland at Stoke. It seemed like he was saying, look, I'll stay at Stoke, I'll try and help him go up. There was talk of him going to Everton, but then Everton loaned in that keeper on deadline day.
Yeah.
But then with Pilkington making a mess, he wouldn't be surprised if they tried to go in for him. 27, huge age for a keeper. And there was talk last week that Liverpool might be trying to make one for Butland.
Yeah, Adrian's had a disaster.
Adrian was just, like, if he plays again after what he did against Villa...
Queeving the cocklash should come in, Queeving Kelleher. But I think Butland would be a great signing for Liverpool.
27, you know, the Euro's coming up.
Yeah.
Pilkington's in horrible form. He's going to look at this as a chance to actually play for England in the Euros.
He was heavily linked to Spurs and Liverpool in the past, Butland. You know what I mean? Man United.
Yeah.
So if you think about him... Like, a lot of upside for him as well, because Liverpool in Champions League, not the toughest group in the world that they've ever had. So he's likely to play, if he comes in subkeeper, maybe two of those group stages. Yeah. He'll play the FA Cup games.
Allison gets
play injured
again.
A lot.
He should never play
Adrian,
again.
Adrian, rather. Allison gets injured a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's probably going to get a fair run of games.
Is he going to one load? Is he Cleveland?
No, I think Cleveland's going to stay after Liverpool. I think if they don't get Butland, I think Butland would be a great signing for any top team.
Yeah,
so he's young. Like, I know he's had a bit of a comment since you last year, but I'm telling you, Butland is a baller. Like, he's an absolute goalkeeper.
Do we think he's still at Stoke at the end of the year?
Not a chance. If Liverpool come in for him, which I think they will,
five.
I think he's gone.
I'll go high as well, about a 7. I think there's a chance.
How much
is he worth? One said he was worth around 30, 40 million.
Yeah, but I mean, he wouldn't be that now, you'd imagine, if you look at the goalkeepers that are going. You look at, like, you know, Martinez went to Villa for 20. Your man went to Sheffield United for, what, 18?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so somewhere around...
He'll go on a happy, lads. If Liverpool or Villa or any team sniff at him, he's gone. Because he wants to, you know, go out to the Premier League and play them Championship games. Play the Champions League games, you know, play FA Cup games. It betters his chance with the England team as well. Like, so I think Butland will definitely go to a Premier League team if they come crawling.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few Premier League teams probably as a keeper. West Ham are another one.
Yeah.
I mean, Fabianski is probably one of their better players at times, but they have no one behind him.
And
he's in his 30s now as well. He's not getting any younger.
Yeah.
But 27, such a good age for a goalkeeper too.
Hasn't even peaked yet. Like, when you just said that, like, you know, and. Look at Brad Friedel starting to shine at 38 years of age, like, you know what I mean?
Goalkeepers tend to make all their mistakes, like Pilkington, you know, is young and he just doesn't seem to, you know, the old Eamon Dunphy one, he's like Dracula, he's afraid of crosses and things. He seems to just drop the ball so often at Everton, it's actually becoming ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But when we get to 26, 27, you learn when to come for the ball, when not to go for the ball.
Yeah.
And Butland, I don't think, is going to drop as many clangers as Pilkington would. So, but we have football coming back.
Yes.
Soon, so we're going to look ahead to that now. And Friday night's game
Derby
is
Watford.
Derby Watford.
Cracker.
It should be
a good one. Derby, good win last time out. You know, Watford, you know, got beaten by Reading last time out. But then, you know, Reading are the best team in the Championship. So, no shame in that.
Yeah.
No, but Watford will want to bounce back. Obviously, Derby will, you know, Derby've only got 3 points. I mean, Derby
very close.
Will need to win, like.
It's going to be a very, very close match.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually think Derby are going to win 2-1.
Yeah, because I think the deadline is up in and around that time as well. Yeah. So, you know, whatever players are still at Watford, we'll wait and see. So, how do you see that? Derby 2-1, you said?
Derby 2-1.
Yeah.
Derby 1-0.
Derby 1-0. I'm going to go for an away win here. Watford 2-1 for Watford.
Yeah.
Saturday's game is dead. See Coventry going to Brentford.
That'll be the game of the week, I think.
It could be a very, very high pressing game.
It'll be good to watch.
Yeah.
Brentford seem to already be having one of those up and down seasons that they can be known for. I mean, the less said about the Preston game, the better.
They were cruising
in that one and threw it away. Coventry are having the definition of an up and down season, win one, lose one kind of a job. So we'll see how that goes. Coventry, though, will attack them, which is probably going to play into Brentford's hands a little bit.
And so
Tony's off the mark. He's up and running now for them as well, goals in the last game as well. So I can't see anything beyond Brentford winning about
3-1. 3-1, yeah, I was going to say
3-1, yeah. Coventry
all score.
Yeah. We've got Wickham Millwall on Saturday. Wickham badly needs something to go right from.
Needs something, yeah.
Millwall defensively very sound. Unlucky last time out to lose. Wickham just don't seem to be able to, like we said, hang on to the ball. So we'll see what happens there. Millwall seem like, you know, it was just a blip in the road. We'll see now. Big game for Millwall too to bounce back.
Yeah.
Because they started the season well. You know, they're there around 5 points, I think. So we'll see how it goes. So Wickham home to Millwall.
Nil all.
Nil all.
Yeah. They can't score. They actually can't score.
Yeah.
My head says 5-0 Wickham. My gut says 2-1 Millwall.
Yeah, I think Millwall are going to win this about 3-0. I've watched Wickham the last few weeks, and like you said, Phil, it just looks like they're never going to score a goal again.
Score a goal.
And Millwall have a very good defence as well. So when you have a team that's never going to score a goal and a good defence, who knows, maybe it will be 5-0 Wickham, like Jerry's hoping for. Middlesbrough on a good run of form against one of the probably the form team in England at the moment, Reading.
Yeah.
How do we see that?
Middlesbrough.
International break, lads. We have to take
Middlesbrough going to win 2-0.
bold prediction, 2-0 Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
Reading 1-0.
1-0 Reading. Yeah, I can see this being a draw, maybe a score draw, 2-2.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for a 2-2 there. But yeah, Borough being in good form. Reading, like you said, the international break. The big test against Watford, they came through that. So we'll wait and see how that one goes. Another one that's kind of difficult enough to call is Luton against Stoke. Luton off to a great start. Stoke off to a steady start, I suppose you'd call it. With a win, a couple of draws in there.
I'd say a draw, to be honest.
You think?
1-1.
1-1 draw.
Luton out of Barcelona of the Championship, lads. I'm going to say Luton 2-0.
2-0 Luton. I'm going to go for a home win there as well. I'm going to say 1-0 to Luton. I think Stoke are just, I don't know, they're just one of those teams that seem like very steady under O'Neill. And it's just, they're just one of those teams that are going to not score many goals, not concede many goals.
They need to wipe up the squad because there's players there that have been there 10 years ago. No disrespect. I'm all about, you know, staying in the job for a long time. But
yeah.
I think O'Neill, if he had funds, and he went to the transfer market and got players he wanted. Over time, he'd turn that Stoke back into a big squad, you know, a big team.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of fringe players still there, like, you know what I mean? Players that have been there too long that are still on that wage bill. I'm surprised Peter Crouch still isn't there, you know?
Yeah.
You'd have to think about it, is he still playing or not? But like, Crouch, he's a legend, but yeah, it's Stoke need a clear.
Yeah, but it is. It's just the way they've gone. You don't see them scoring a lot of goals. You don't see them conceding a lot of goals. So, you know, it could be a close one, that, but I'm going to go for Luton Hedges. Barnsley against Bristol City. Barnsley in an absolute mess. Like you said, might have a new manager in by then. Bristol City, along with Reading, the only two teams to win their first four games.
Yeah.
I think it comes to an end, though.
I think it's another draw.
Yeah, it's another draw again.
If Mick McCarthy comes into the job, Barnsley would beat Bristol 4-0. Yeah. But, yeah, Bristol, I think, will get this one.
I reckon nil all.
You reckon nil all?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go for Bristol here to win this one 2-0, I think. I think struggles continue for Barnsley. Ododa came off the bench for Ireland during the week. He actually created a lot of problems. So hoping for a big season, like we were saying, for him this year. Didn't get going because of the injury. So, you know, he was on the bench for Bristol in the last game. He might come in and start, or he might come off the bench again. I think he's going to make the difference for them in this one. I think Bristol City 2-0 there. Another one that's kind of tricky to call. Two teams that are in decent form. Birmingham against Sheffield Wednesday.
I think Birmingham will win 1-0.
Me too. 1-0 Birmingham, yeah.
I think Sheffield Wednesday, the whole day honeymoon's over.
Yeah.
I mean, they were so unlucky last time to concede 97 minutes in.
They're dark horses this year.
But Birmingham, Yeah, I think Birmingham at home, I think I'm going to go for them to win 2-1 in that one. Sheffield Wednesday really need to start picking up the points, though, because they're on, what now, -7?
Yeah.
So they're still 8 points from safety at the moment. Yeah. So they really need to start picking up the points. They've done okay, though, this season. But okay isn't really good enough when you're starting off, you know, with four losses, basically, already on the books. Rotherham against Norwich City. Tricky one again to call. Rotherham lost our Corky, who's probably
Ogbeni. Yeah,
Ogbeni's gone for 4 months after having knee surgery to repair some cartilage. He's going to be a bit of a loss for them.
Yeah.
Norwich.
I take Norwich will win.
Yeah, Norwich had a good start season. They've kind of fallen apart. Norwich, like we always say, they need this transfer window shut so they know what players am I allowed to pick anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I reckon Norwich will win 3-1.
3-1 Norwich, or yeah, go for a 2-0 Norwich here.
Yeah, I think Norwich 2-0 and then Adam Adai to score as well.
Yeah, he could use a confidence booster. Yeah. Pookie, I suppose, one we didn't mention. Is there any chance a team takes a gamble on him? He's 30 now, I think.
I don't think
he's somewhere coming from, you never know.
Yeah. I don't think he's gonna leave.
Swansea against Huddersfield.
I think Swansea want to continue Swansea. Their running winning streak.
Yeah.
2-0.
2-0 Swansea. I'm going to go for a 3-1 Swansea in this one.
I'm going to go for a 1-0.
Yeah, I think Huddersfield have been looking better the last few weeks. But I think Swansea have looked very impressive.
Yeah,
yeah.
In the last couple of games. Gibbs White has just settled in.
Sensational.
It's been unbelievable for them. And they looked so good at the back last week. Against Millwall, I believe they were playing.
Yeah,
they looked really, really good that day. Bournemouth and QPR.
Potentially
a good game, right?
Yeah, I was going to say a draw, but I think QPR. I said Bournemouth 2-1.
2-1 Bournemouth. Yeah, it's tricky to call.
Yeah,
2-1. That was my prediction.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm going to sit in the fence and go 1-1 in this one.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well.
I think it's one of those. And it's hard to call just because of the form of the two teams as well. Blackburn, who, you know, doing really well, it seems, start season against team with new manager.
Shock they drew last time, Blackburn. I think they drew nil all
this
that.
This will be a tough one with the new manager of Black Forest.
Houghton's in though, so that's the difference. You know, does he say to the lads, look, this is the matter of life and death. This is the matter of your contract next year.
Yeah.
You know, come on, let's do it.
I reckon a draw.
A draw?
Yeah,
it's a fair call, yeah.
Yeah, 2-2 actually.
2-2, you're going to go for, I'm going to say a 1-1 draw, so on this one.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday, we have Preston, after their amazing comeback, against Brentford, playing against Cardiff, who have been in decent up and down form again. Bad first week. They've been unlucky with a few results. But Preston looked really impressive.
They did, but I can guarantee you that if you were to go doing them in a docket this weekend, they'd lose.
They'd be the only team that loses as well.
Yeah, so I got to see Cardiff 2-1.
Yeah.
That's always a good fixture, Preston and Cardiff. I just always, because I'm always watching out for Shawnee and the lads, you know, the Irish lads that are over in Preston.
Yeah.
But it's always a good game. There's always goals.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Preston 3-2.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 2-1 Preston win here. I just think they look very good against Brentford. But like Phil says, they're notorious for going up and down.
Yeah.
Just when you think Preston are going to kick on, they lose 6-0 to somebody.
Yeah.
So that's just the way they've been. So we look forward to those games. The next show will be back again Monday week when we'll hopefully have some nice results and, you know, we'll have done well with those. Yeah. And after the international break, comes the championship is known for. The midweek games will be starting up again.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
And so teams will be playing twice a week then.
Yes.
And we'll have a better idea of who's staying and who's going by then. So until then, thanks so much for listening and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.